Listen to your favorite Christian radio station on www.sidmedia.org. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
And now it's time for us to turn our attention to our next conversation. This time around, it's our daily focus. And we do have Elder Luendo Simalambo, who's talking to us this afternoon about the purpose of baptism. Remember our theme, baptism. Elder Simalambo, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Okay, thank you so much. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to our dear listeners from all over the world. It's good to meet once again this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Mdala. So we are talking about baptism, and today our focus is on the purpose of baptism. What is the purpose of baptism?
Okay, number one, when you look at the title itself, the purpose of baptism, there are two keywords that I want to focus on. Number one, the word purpose. Now, when we use the word purpose, what we mean is just the reason for which something is done or the reason why something exists. For example, if I've got a spoon, the reason why I'm going to use a spoon is that the spoon will help me to scoop. It can be sugar, it can be food in a certain amount of quantity. And when we're talking about baptism, from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse or to submerge or to dip. So when I talk about the purpose of baptism, we're talking about the reason why baptism exists. So what is the purpose of baptism? Number one, baptism is there to indicate the cleansing that a person has actually experienced in the heart. It is also a public confession of one's faith in the death of Christ, his resurrection. It is also a confession of faith or a testifying of one being dead to sin and rising in the newness of life and receiving also the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Then its purpose also is more or less like an initiation ceremony into the family of God, where one is actually also welcomed to be part of the body of Christ, which is the church. Yes.
So, yeah, go ahead.
So baptism serves all these purposes and many, many other purposes as well. I'm sure we'll be able to unfold as we delve deep into our lesson.
Of course. So how does the symbolism of water in baptism connect to the idea of cleansing and renewal?
Okay, that's a very good question. Now, the water baptism is a physical and visible representation and indication of the invisible cleansing and renewal of the heart. So I'll say that once again. So the water baptism is a physical and visible indication of invisible cleansing and renewal of the heart. Now, when we visit, for example, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 and verse 6, this is what the Bible has to say. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at
hand.
So he's saying, repent, meaning have sorrow for sin and turn away from sin in heart. In other words, he's saying, acknowledge your sins, be forgiven of your sins, be cleansed spiritually. Now, when we move to verse 6, it says, speaking about those that came to the river Jordan and were baptized, it says, that's chapter 3, verse 6 of Matthew, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So those that were baptized confessed their sins. Then after they confessed their sins and they were forgiven, they were cleansed or purified spiritually, then they were baptized. So the physical act of the baptism was indicative of what had taken place in the heart. Because as human beings, we cannot know what is taking place in the human heart. But what is happening in the invisible to the human eye is seen through the visible act of baptism.
Right, right, right.
So that is clearly indicating that the cleansing basically using the water is actually indicative of the inner cleansing, the spiritual cleansing, the renewal of the heart.
Yeah.
And by the way, when we use water, even in our daily use, water has got multiple purposes.
Right.
And we also use water for inward and outward cleansing.
Mm.
Because if one is dirty, for them to be clean, they basically have to use water.
Yeah.
So the Bible also uses the symbolism of water for cleansing.
Okay, okay. So in what ways then does baptism serve as a tangible expression of the believer's commitment to a transformed life?
Okay. Now, so a transformed life is a life that has been changed by the grace of God. And transformation is a process.
Mm-hmm.
Transformation is a process. Now, what characterizes a transformed life is a life of obedience to God's commandments, living in line with God's word. So when one is accepting to be baptized, they are clearly indicating that they're not only accepting the teachings, they're not only being instructed in the teachings and the truth of Christ, but they're also accepting the truth as it is in Christ.
Right.
So obedience to God's commandments is a characteristic of the renewed or transformed life. Now, clearly in Matthew chapter 28, we are told that baptism is actually a command that actually Christ gives. So when one is baptized, it clearly indicates that they are following the command of Christ. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Bible has this to say, go ye therefore and teach all nations,
right,
baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Right.
So clearly baptism is a command. So when one is baptized, then they're clearly indicating that they are obeying the command of God.
Mm.
Now, another indicator also of the transformed life is repentance.
Yeah.
Now, when we read in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11, Matthew chapter 3, verses 11, the Bible has this to say, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance.
Right.
So the baptism of water was also indicative of repentance.
Okay. Okay.
So, and repentance is a characteristic also of the transformed what?
Life.
The transformed life.
Right.
Yes. So baptism there is clearly indicating that there's a relationship between one repenting and baptism and the transformed life as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very interesting.
Yes.
Interesting connections there that you're drawing them down. Let's then get to the issue of baptism contributing to a sense of unity. I'm curious, do you find how does baptism contribute to a sense of unity and belonging within a Christian community?
Okay. To answer a particular question, we can visit Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5. Interesting enough, when I look at the heading of this chapter in the King James Version Bible that I have, the heading says the unity of the Spirit.
Right.
The unity of the Spirit. Now, in verse 4 and 5, this is what it says, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 4 and 5. There is one body. Now, one body in this case is being used as a symbol for the unity of the body of Christ, which is the church.
Mm.
So he's saying there is one church, in other words, not many churches, one church.
Yeah.
And one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Right.
Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Mm.
Interesting there. So clearly in verse 5, we are told that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Okay.
Not two different types of baptism or three different types of baptisms, but one baptism. So when a baptism is administered according to the guidelines of Scripture, all believers who administer baptism according to the guidelines of Scripture are united.
Right.
They are united in practice in that the activity is done in line with the tenets of Scripture. So whether one is in South Africa, as long as they're baptized by immersion, as Christ was baptized by immersion, and whether one is in Zambia and they're baptized as the Lord Christ was baptized by immersion, there is unity in practice.
Right.
Because all practice is informed by the same tenets of Scripture, and the principles are the same.
Okay. Okay. So, do you think that there are practical implications or responsibilities associated with being part of this community of believers?
Definitely there are the practical implications. Still in the book of Ephesians, remember we are saying when one is baptized, they are making a public confession of their faith in Christ Jesus. They are making a public confession that they are dying to an old life and now rising in the newness of life. So in other words, they are saying, I am now committed to the teachings, to the mission, to the witness of Christ.
Okay.
So I'm committed to all these things, and there are practical implications. Now, when we read, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, the Bible says, speaking of those that have believed in Christ, have accepted him as personal Lord and Savior, and they are baptized. It says, remember yesterday we said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, speaking on the subject of salvation, verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace are ye saved. So the same word is used, saved. So for by grace are ye saved, through faith, in that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So when we are baptized, we become part of the body of Christ. We are born into the family of God as missionaries.
Right.
We are born and we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. No one will be saved in indolence or inactivity.
Right.
Everyone who be saved into the family of God would have been active in winning souls for Christ. In fact, in the book Acts of the Apostles, Sister White says the reason why the church has actually been set up, it is for the sake of mission, for the proclamation of the gospel to the world. Yes, so we are not saved just to sit and roam the pews of the churches, but we must be proactive and active spiritually. Okay. We must be on fire. In fact, that is characteristic of the New Testament church, the apostolic dispensation. Believers that were accepted into the family of God continue to participate in witnessing, in acts of charity and mercy, in ministering to as many as had need, physical need and spiritual needs. And daily, many were added to the body of Christ.
Okay.
Many of them were added to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So, when we become part of the family of God, there's a specific duty that God actually gives us. And that is why, when we talk about baptism, we're not only talking about the water baptism, but also the spiritual baptism.
That's right.
The spiritual baptism also implies that we are being filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit also comes with the gifts of the Spirit.
Okay.
So the Holy Spirit basically will empower us not to sit, but to work.
Yeah.
Because there's no purpose of empowering someone who has nothing to do. It's a waste of empowerment.
Okay.
So if someone is being empowered, there must be work for them to do, so that that empowerment that they receive can enable them to perform the work.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit cannot give gifts to the church of God for which there is no use.
Okay. All right.
Because that is a waste. Because what is not used is wasted.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. All right. Please close for us. I think we've gone over our time. I've kept you longer than I should have kept you. I'm sorry for that. Close for us with a word of prayer.
You know, I didn't even realize that.
Thank you so much. I will pray.
Yeah. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this significant subject that we are looking at of baptism and of the significance, the vital significance and the significance and bearing it has on our spiritual life.
Mm.
Our prayer is that, Lord, you may help us to continue learning of your truth as it is in Christ and to accept this particular truth that we may live in line with the principles that you have lived in your word, revealed to us in your word, and that we may be fitted for soon advent. Continue to bless the ministry of your word through your servant who has been working with me and many of the listeners that are listening world over, and that your grace and your will be upon us and it will be done respectively. In Jesus' name, your son, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Abdallah, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time, your insights. We're looking forward to your presentation, your explanations tomorrow as we still continue to navigate our way through the concept of baptism. Have a wonderful day, Abdallah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful time, dear listeners and the team that side as well. God bless you and may you continue to use you in an abundant manner and may he just enlarge your territory. God bless.
Amen. Thank you very much. It was Elder Luyendo Simalambo talking to us about the purpose of baptism.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.